Our text of Scripture we want to base our remarks upon today and look at is the beginning of verse number 10 of Psalm number 46, where the Lord Himself here is speaking to His people, and He says, "Be still and know that I am God." The hymn writer could say, "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone." And by those words, the hymn writer were really highlighting the importance of a quiet time in the life of every believer and every child of God. Now, this same great truth is brought before us and before our attention by the Lord Himself in our text this morning in verse 10 of Psalm 46, where He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, whenever a person is saved, they repent of their sins, and they confess their sins before God and to God. You remember the account of the prodigal son who was saved. He confessed his sin. He repented of his sin. He came back to his father and he said, "I have sinned against heaven." Not only did he confess his sins and his waywardness to his earthly father, but he also confessed and acknowledged his sin before God. He said, "I have sinned against heaven." There's always repentance when a person is saved. But along with repentance, when a person is saved, they also come to trust in Christ, to rest in Christ alone for their salvation. They rest on the blood of Christ alone to wash away their sins and to cleanse their sins away before God, and they come to rest upon the perfect righteousness of Christ alone for their acceptance before Almighty God. You think again of the words of the great hymn writer when he said, "My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Think of the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus, speaking of Christ and what Christ had done for him and the people of God. He said, "He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." He was accepted through Christ before God and through the perfect righteousness of Christ. He could say further of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Paul knew the cleansing power of the blood of Christ applied to his heart to wash away his sins. And dear friend, in our meeting this morning at the very outset, I would ask you the question, and the question is this: are you saved in this meeting this morning? You may be asked many questions in your life, but this is the most important question for you ever to contemplate and face. And the question is this: are you saved in this meeting this morning? Are you right with God? Are you sure of heaven? As the Bible says, are you born again? The Bible says you must be born again. Dear friend, if you are to be saved and right with God, then you must repent of your sins before God. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And you must come not only to acknowledge and confess your sin before God, you must come to trust in Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Church membership, be it membership of this church or any other church, will do nothing for your soul's salvation. Good works will do nothing for your soul's salvation. The name of being a Protestant or a nominal Protestant will do nothing for your salvation. Reading your Bible will not save you. Saying your prayers, saying the Lord's Prayer day by day, will do nothing for your soul if you don't mean what you say. Friend, if you're to be saved, you must repent of your sins before God. Call upon Christ and trust Him to be your own and personal Savior. And this is what happens when a person is saved, be it here or be it in some other part of the world. There is repentance from sin. There is saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But then once a person is saved, it is also vital, it is also important that that person, whoever he is, whoever she is, wherever they are to be found in the church of Christ, that they also have a daily quiet time for their own Christian life. In other words, a time when they read the Word of God and God speaks to their hearts from His Word, and a time when they pray to God, they talk to God and commune with God, their Heavenly Father. It has rightly been said that the quiet time is the secret of the Christian's life. And the Christians who neglect their quiet time will soon grow cold and backslide and go into bypass meadow before the Lord. That's how important the quiet time is in the life of the believer in the church of Christ. Now, friends, this morning, if we look at the Bible, we find many examples of those in the Old and also in the New Testament who had a quiet time with God, their Heavenly Father. I think this morning of Abraham. The Bible speaks of Abraham in Genesis 19, and it says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." Abraham knew fellowship, communion with God. Early in the morning, he went to that place where he got alone with God. I think also of Isaac. The Bible speaks of Isaac in Genesis 24, and it says, "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." This was part of his life. In the evening time, he would go out to get alone with God and to commune with God, his Heavenly Father. Again, you think of the psalmist David. He could say in Psalm number 5, "To the Lord my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, and I will look up." There was something about David's life, a part of his day, early in the day, when he fellowshiped with the Lord. He got alone with God. He had communion with God, his Heavenly Father. And then, dear people, let us think of Christ this morning, our greatest example in all things, our greatest example in everything. The Bible speaks of Christ in the Gospel of Mark, and it says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed early in the day." And people, there was nobody more busier in this scene of time than Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. And he began the day with fellowship and rich communion with God, his Heavenly Father. Think also of how Christ closed his days on earth. The Bible also says in the Gospel of Matthew that he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He closed the day in a quiet time with God, his Heavenly Father. Dear people of God, the lesson that I'm driving home to us all this morning, preacher and congregation alike, is this. Of men like Abraham and Isaac and David. And David was a man after God's own heart. If they had quiet times with God, if they felt their need of a quiet time with God, and then think of Christ, the sinless, spotless Son of God, if he himself, when he was here on earth, felt his need of a quiet time with God as Heavenly Father, then how much more do you and I also as God's people not need to have a time of quietness with God, our Heavenly Father? How important then it is that we have a quiet time with our Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. It's for that reason then that I want us then to consider these words in our text this morning, where God says, "Be still and know that I am God." And I believe by these very words, the Lord himself, he highlights, he magnifies the importance of every believer having a quiet time. And as we then would consider this matter of the believer's quiet time, there are three thoughts I just want to share with you simply and plainly this morning about the matter of you as a believer, as a Christian, as I as a believer, as a Christian, having a quiet time with God, our Heavenly Father. Notice first of all the aim of the believer's quiet time. In our text, the Lord speaks here to his people, and he says, "Be still and know that I am God." What is the aim of such a quiet time? What is the purpose of it all? Well, one of the aims in having a quiet time is that we can enjoy fellowship with God, have rich and sweet fellowship with the Lord God, our Savior. You think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 42. He says, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." There was a thirst in the psalmist's heart for fellowship with his God, with his heavenly Father. Again, think of the words of the Lord Himself speaking about His people. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, He says, "My delight were with the sons of men." Not only does David desire fellowship with God, but the Bible shows us that God Himself longs and desires for fellowship and communion with His people. You remember how it was at the beginning of time at creation. We read of God coming in the quietness of the day to commune with Adam and Eve, to have fellowship with them in the cool of the day and the quietness of the day. Dear Christian, one of the reasons why you and I should have a quiet time is that we can have rich and sweet and blessed fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the lover of our souls, the Savior of our souls. Yes, we need it for fellowship with God. But another aim of the quiet time is that surely of spiritual strength for us as God's people. See, the Bible speaks of you and I here on earth, and it says we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickednesses in high places. That's the battle that you and I have to face day and daily as Christians. But dear Christian, by our quiet time, you and I can receive divine strength to battle against the enemies of our soul and the enemies of God. And we can receive divine strength from God by maintaining and having a quiet time with the Lord. That's the promise of God's Word. You turn in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse number 31. And just look at that great promise there. And this really concerns the believer in their quiet time. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." My waiting upon the Lord to pray, to read His Word in the quiet time, we will be strengthened, dear people, for the spiritual battles of the days that lie before us as God's people. The aim of the quiet time is fellowship. It is spiritual strength. Another aim of our quiet time is that the Lord Himself would be honored through our witness, through our testimony. You look again at what the Lord says there in Psalm 46 and the verse number 10. Look at what follows on from the words of our text. The Lord says, "I will be exalted among the heathen." I will be exalted in the earth. How is the Lord exalted among the heathen? How are you and I to exalt the Lord among the heathen? How are you and I as Christians to honor and exalt and glorify the Lord in the earth? How can we do that? Well, we find the answer to those questions in our text this morning. The Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God." And through our quiet time, we can receive fresh grace to live day by day for God's honor and glory and our witness for the Savior. Notice how the psalmist spoke of that in his own experience in verse 1 of the psalm. And he says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And by having a quiet time, you and I can have grace afresh from the Lord to glorify the Lord in every circumstance and situation of life that comes before us, that we might exalt the Lord in the world before the heathen, before the ungodly. Yes, the aim of the believer's quiet time. But notice secondly this morning, not only the aim of the quiet time, but the preparation that is needed for the believer's quiet time. And this is very important. When we come to have our quiet times, it's important that as God's people that we're wide awake, that we're spiritually alert before prayer and the reading of the Bible. You remember the time whenever Christ was praying with His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the disciples should have been praying, but instead they were fast asleep. They fell asleep, and the Lord came to them with a gentle rebuke, and He said, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then He commanded them to watch and pray. That was His command to them. And the word "watch" there, it speaks of vigilance. It speaks of alertness. And my, if we are to maintain our quiet time aright, we must be vigilant. We must be awake. We must be spiritually alert. And to maintain this, our lives as God's people must be disciplined. Indeed, as Christians, we must get sufficient rest and sleep. The Bible says to the believer, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. And if as God's people we try to burn the candle at both ends of our daily life, as people would say, then one of the things that will suffer in our Christian experience will be our quiet time with the Lord. Yes, in preparing for the quiet time, we must be vigilant as God's people. We must be alert. But also in having our quiet times, we must have a desire to hear God's voice. Look again at our text and notice what the Lord says. He says, be still and know that I am God. And the thought is there of hearing God's voice. And when we come to have our quiet time, we must come with that attitude of heart to hear God's voice. Thus it is important that we set aside every distraction of thought and word and deed when we come to have our quiet times. We must come, yes, with a desire to hear God's voice. Also, we should come to our quiet times with a desire to be led by God the Holy Spirit in our worship of the Lord in the quiet time. We want God the Holy Spirit to lead us in our study of God's Word privately. We want God the Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer in our private times. The Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit and says, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide us according to God's Word and accordance with the truth of God's Word. Also, when we come to have our quiet time, we must have a willingness to obey what we read and what we hear from God's voice. You remember what Mary said at the first miracle when Jesus turned the water into wine? And what did Mary say to the disciples? And it really applies to us all as Christians when we come to God's Word. She said, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. We should have a desire to obey what we read in God's Word. And also when we come to have our quiet times, it's important as God's people that we come before the Lord and seek that fresh cleansing of our hearts afresh in the precious blood. Yes, for day and daily as God's people, we sin against the Lord in thought and word and deed. This doesn't mean that we're saved all over again, but it means as God's people, we're to maintain fellowship with the Lord. And when we come to have our quiet times, we must ask the Lord to cleanse us afresh as God's people in the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that there would be nothing that would hinder our fellowship with the Lord. That's how David prayed. Turn over there to Psalm number 51 and look with me, yes, at verse number 7, a verse that is often preached in the gospel, but in the context, it applies to the believer, to God's people. In Psalm 51 and verse number 7, David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter. And so David there was praying as a believer, as a child of God, one who was redeemed by the blood of Christ. My, when we come to our quiet times, we should come asking the Lord to cleanse our hearts afresh from all sin by His precious blood, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of our Savior. You think of the words of the hymn writer. They could say, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like Thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. They did not want anything to come between them and the Lord or to hinder their fellowship with the Lord, their Savior. And dear people, that should be our continual burden. Day by day when we come to have our quiet times with the Lord God, our Savior. Yes, the preparation for the believer's quiet time, the aim of the believer's quiet time. But notice one final thought this morning, and it is the program for the believer's quiet time. And this applies to us all, young and old alike, whether we're saved recently or saved a long time. It applies to preacher and to congregation like my, to have our quiet time. We need a calm place, a quiet place, a place to pray, a place to read God's Word and to meditate upon it, a place that is free from distractions. You notice the words there that the Lord uses in our text. He says, be still. And that speaks of a place that is set apart. In other words, we need a still place, a quiet place, a place when we can get away, as it were, from the crowd and the distractions of this life. You turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6, and the verse number 6, you'll see how Christ Himself speaks of this very fact in the life of His people. In Matthew chapter 6 and the verse number 6, He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when, notice it, thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He says about going to the closet, about shutting the door, getting away from the distractions. We are to have our quiet, and we need somewhere in our life, somewhere maybe in our home, even in our workplace, somewhere where we can get away, get alone with God, read God's Word, alone to pray, to meditate upon God's Word. We must have that quiet place, that still place. But as well as a quiet place, for us to have our quiet time, we need also our Bibles for our quiet time. We need the Word of God with us. And I would counsel you from this pulpit, dear Christian, as your pastor, the best English version that you can read and that you can study is the Authorized King James Version of the Scriptures. Don't neglect it. Don't set it aside for many of the modern perversions of Scripture. But hold fast to the Authorized King James Version of the Scriptures, that tried and tested and blessed, most blessed of the English versions of the Scriptures of truth. And when we come to read God's Word, it's good if we can have a concordance. If you like, it's a dictionary that explains the meaning of God's words that we maybe don't understand. Bring a notebook with you also to your quiet time, to record maybe verses that God speaks to your heart particularly upon. Also maybe to record prayer requests, petitions that you offered up to God and answers that you receive from God in prayer. And my, when we begin our quiet time, we should begin it with prayer. Asking the Lord to speak to our hearts through His Word. Just as you come into the sanctuary in the Lord's Day and before we engage in the worship, as you settle down in the sanctuary, you engage in prayer and you ask God to speak to your heart, to your family, to speak through the pastor, through the minister, whatever. And that's very important that we do that before we come into the main service of worship, that we seek God. But again, that applies to our quiet times. You pray, God, speak to me. You remember how Samuel prayed as a young lad. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And we should come to God's Word with a desire to hear God's voice, to hear His Word to our souls. Can I say this, dear Christian, when it comes to reading our Bibles, we should read our Bibles systematically. There are some Christians and their Bible reading is wherever the Bible opens. I'll just read it that day. And that may be all right for a few occasions, but it's not good practice for the Christian. You read your Bible systematically. In other words, read through the books chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It's important you do that. And as you read, you read thoughtfully, read prayerfully, and it's good to ask questions as you read the verses, you read the chapter, or the psalm, or the portion. Ask yourself the question, what new thing have I learned today from my Bible reading? Ask yourself the question, is there a command here for me to obey in this verse, in this chapter, in this passage? Is there an example here for me to follow? Is there an error here for me to avoid? Is there a sin here for me to confess and to forsake? Is there a promise in this verse or in this chapter that I can claim? Is there some new thought here about the Lord Himself that the Lord is showing me from this passage? These are things we can be asking as we read a verse, as we read a chapter, a portion of Scripture, whatever. And you know, dear people, when we do this, we'll find our times around God's Word becoming blessed. We'll find God guiding us and building us up in the truth of God's Word. You turn over there to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. Just look at what Paul says about the whole purpose of God's Word to His people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And it's by the Word of God that we are built up in our Christian life. Remember what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when we finish our Bible reading, in our quiet times, our study of that passage, that verse, that portion, then it's important as well in our quiet times that we pray. Take time to pray. To pray over the word that we've been reading. To pray it into our hearts. Maybe God has given you a promise. Pray that into your soul and plead that God will help you live out that promise, that command, whatever in your life's experience and circumstance that day, whatever those are. But it's important, dear people, that you pray. The Lord says, call unto me. As we pray, we need to come with adoration, praising God for who He is and what He is. As we pray, we need to come before God with confession, confessing our sins, praying for grace to turn away from sin and live for God's glory. As we pray, we need to come with thanksgiving, thanking God for blessings, thanking God for speaking to our hearts afresh through His Word. How we need to come with supplication, interceding on behalf of ourselves, our families, our children, our church, God's servants, other Christians that we know. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Dear Christian, if your quiet time is half an hour in the morning, spend the first 15 minutes around God's Word. Spend the latter 15 minutes around the throne of grace and pray. If it's an hour, then split it up equally the same. Half an hour to the Word, half an hour to prayer. But oh, dear people of God, it is vital that you and I as Christians have a quiet time. Brethren and sisters in Christ, these are some of the guidelines that God would have you and I to follow in our quiet time. And by us faithfully having a quiet time, what will happen in our Christian life is this. We'll get to know the Lord greater. We'll get to know more about our Lord and know more about our Savior. And the fruit of that in our lives will be, as Christians, will be strengthened. What does the Bible say in the book of Daniel? The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Dear believer, I say this to you as your pastor this morning. You can be sure that the devil will use everything, and he will use anything to hinder you and to take you away from having your quiet time with God. And he will use every strategy. That's why we need to guard it. We need to cherish it. We need to prize it. Maybe I'm speaking to a believer, and once, yes, there was a quiet time in your life, but that is no longer the case. Well, don't get discouraged, Christian. Start afresh, even today. Take that time out with God, around His Word, around the throne of grace and prayer. Just start again. God will bless you, and God will help you. This is fundamental to living the Christian life, dear people, day by day in God's people, God's work and in our service for God. Yes, when there's young children in the Christian home, it can be difficult, especially for the mother or the wife, to have that private time alone with the Lord around His Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. And when there are young children in the home, it's the father's responsibility, the husband's responsibility especially, to make time for his wife to that time alone with God and with her Savior around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the Lord says, be still. Know that I am God, dear Christian. Do you have a quiet time? If not, start today. If there was once that altar of a quiet time in your life and that altar has got broken down, rebuild that altar. Take time around God's Word. This is the treasure, the manna of heaven for your souls. Take time to pray and seek God. And I tell you this, dear Christian, God will bless you. God will use you for His honor and for His glory. And he'll use your testimony to exalt and magnify his name. And you'll be strengthened and blessed and built up in your most holy.